If I were to ask you how you prepare for a conversation that could lead to conflict, what would your answer be? Like, if you're like me, you're like, what preparation, right? I know I'm mad. I know I want to tell him. I know that something's got to change. And I know I want him to pay, right? That's probably the extent of the thought process prior to actually approaching him to talk about the thing that you're pissed off about, right? There really was little preparation involved. And while there were plenty of emotions, there was very little intention.
Welcome to the Marriage and Motherhood Podcast. I'm your host, Michelle Perda. As a marriage coach who's married with three kids, I know how easy it is for marriage to take a back seat. But unlike your parents' marriage, your marriage can feel good while raising kids and doesn't have to feel hard. It can look like having each other's backs, even flirting and looking forward to spending time with each other. And I'm here to help you. So join me here each week as we dive into what it takes for your marriage to become something you enjoy again, from how to handle conflict better and bringing that spark back into your relationship. If you're ready for your marriage to feel good again, this podcast is for you. Let's dive in.
Hello, hello. Welcome back to another episode of the Marriage and Motherhood Podcast, the car edition. This is the second episode I am recording in my car because if you haven't heard, I am in between homes. We are fully moved out of our home in the Bay Area, and we are currently staying with my parents until we move over to the East Coast, which is so wild. I think I'm going to continue saying how wild it is until I'm fully settled in there and it actually feels like real life, because right now it just feels like we have so many things to do, tasks and more tasks to complete before that actually becomes a reality. But anyway, I wanted to come here to talk about two really, really simple ways to adopt, to start improving how you experience conflict with your spouse. If you're like me, you don't really enjoy conflict, but also it's hard to back down. I'm an Aries, so I can get pretty fiery and I get pretty defensive naturally. But learning these two simple ways has seriously been such a game changer with how I approach conflict. And approach is really the key word. Before I learned how to be an effective communicator, before I started teaching my clients how to do this too in their relationships, I had no strategy when it came to my approach. I was like a messy fighter. Okay. Now, if I were to ask you how you prepare for a conversation that could lead to conflict, what would your answer be? Right? Like, if you're like me, you're like, what preparation, right? I know I'm mad. I know I want to tell him. I know that something's got to change. And I know I want him to pay, right? Like, that's probably about the extent of the thought process prior to actually approaching him to talk about the thing that you're pissed off about, right? And for a lot of my clients and my past self, there really was little preparation involved, just like minimal. And while there were plenty of emotions, there was very little intention. By yelling, by getting really angry and your anger being really loud and big, or maybe you give the silent treatment, or you're dismissive or defensive or pointing the finger a lot, then that's what you're going to do, right? Of course, we do what we are modeled, just like how our kids do what they're modeled. But contrary to what you grew up seeing, that doesn't necessarily mean it's healthy, and it doesn't necessarily mean that it's everybody's norm. That's just your norm, right? And there are people out there that have actually been taught, like hopefully your kids, right? Or self-taught, hopefully you, or you work with me and I'll teach you. But they've been taught how to handle conflict calmly and more effectively. So the stuff that you see on TV, that's not goals, right? Unless you see like a really like simple conversation between two actors where it's like, oh, they have a problem, they work it out, and then they move on with life. That's goals, right? We don't need the fanfare. We don't need the drama, even though we witness so much of it growing up. That is not how we need to do things. That does not have to be how we experience conflict. Conflict does not have to mean arguing, okay? So if you're like me, you didn't learn how growing up, right? And you find yourself experiencing conflict the same way over and over and over again. It's really draining. It's very emotional. It's very dramatic. And it's just a lot of high emotions, and you don't end up going anywhere. Maybe you're talking for hours and hours, and you either take a long time to come to a resolution, or you don't come to any resolution at all, and you guys just get sick of fighting, and you kind of just sweep it under the rug and move on, right? Until it comes back up again. But the thing with conflict in marriage is that it doesn't have to leave you feeling like it's hurting your relationship. It doesn't have to leave you feeling hurt and sad, right? So I'm going to share two simple ways that you can start to improve the outcome of your conversations and strengthen your relationship with your partner. And like I say all the time, you can use these in all types of communication with your friends, with your family, with your coworkers, with whoever. Okay. So whatever you get from this, you can apply it to any sort of relationship that you care about. All right. So if you want more effective communication, then following this two-step framework can help you keep the conversation from escalating and stay grounded. Okay. So like I always say, pivoting is like the best skill that you can develop when it comes to becoming an effective communicator. And so the two things that I'm going to teach you today is really how to prepare so that you have more of a capacity to pivot should your husband not respond in the way that you think that he should, or he says something unexpected, you can still stay on track with the conversation. Okay, so to have productive conversations and become an effective communicator, you've got to practice being intentional. Okay, you hear me say this word a lot because it really matters, right? You've got to be intentional to have things turn out in the best way possible. When we do things recklessly, that's when we're like, oh gosh, I don't know how this is going to turn out, or this is going to be a mess, right? And that's true for communication. That's true for connection, especially when you have kids, right? When you're just kind of going through the notions of being an adult while being married, while having kids, it's really easy to let life just happen and look back and wonder, how did we end up like this? How did we end up as co-parenting roommates instead of still a rock solid partnership? Okay, so intentionality is such a key characteristic of being super, super intentional. And I'm going to teach you two different ways that you can be intentional to help your communication improve like so much. All right, so the first one is by being intentional about your goal of the conversation. The second one is how you want your partner to feel during the conversation and after the conversation. Okay, so those are the two simple ways that you can greatly improve how you experience conflict with your partner. Now, most times when people approach conversations, it's with half-baked thoughts, half-baked feelings. We are not spending enough time reflecting on what is it that we think? Why is it that we're upset? What is it that we're feeling? Why do we feel that way? What is it that we want? Okay. These are the questions that you should always be asking yourself before approaching any serious conversation with your partner, because I guarantee you, I promise you, this is going to land you in such a better outcome if you take the time to do this rather than rush into it when you're feeling very emotional. Okay. Now, I remember in previous relationships and even in the earlier years of my marriage, I would be upset, but not be clear on why I was upset and what I wanted to come out of the conversation. I just knew that I was pissed, frustrated, annoyed, fill in the blank, some kind of, you know, uncomfortable emotion. And I would make it that person's fault. And it was their responsibility to fix it, because prior to them doing something or not doing something that I needed, I was feeling fine. And so my logic in my mind at the time was, well, it's their fault then, because if they didn't do the thing, then I would still be okay. So now it's their responsibility to fix it, because I was taught that other people's emotions were my responsibility and vice versa, right? Rather than the truth, which is you're responsible for your own feelings. And that has been a really tough lesson throughout the years of my life. But now that I've learned it, let me tell you, it is so much easier to just manage your own emotions rather than everybody else's and count on someone else to be in charge of yours. Okay, so if you're still in that world, let me tell you, it is way worth the effort to learn how to just be with your own emotions and figure that out and own it, okay? But anyway, as you can imagine, it was a very difficult task and impossible even to put that on someone else. And this would result in so many long conversations of circular conversations, okay? Like literally going nowhere. Me trying to paraphrase, hoping that they would understand, hoping that, oh, maybe this one way of saying it, they're going to finally get it, right? Until we reach a point that we could find a solution like hours later or move on because we're sick of it, right? When you don't have a goal for the conversation, though, that's where conversations get lost. And all of my clients start out this way, myself included, okay? Whenever I would get into a conversation, I would 1000% get lost every single time. Because I am hanging on what they're saying, and I would get hung up on specific words they're saying, the tone they're using. I would get defensive, I would get triggered, and then I would bring stuff up. And the next thing you know, the conversation goes from talking about not cleaning up to, I don't know, a soccer game, right? Something completely unrelated. And when we don't have that singular focus of where are we going with this? What is the point of this conversation? What do I need out of it? What is my goal for this? We can get pulled in so many directions, and it's almost like squirrel brain, right? It's like, oh, let me go here. Let me go there. It's like you got ADHD during the conversation because you have no anchor. But when you have a focus, when you have an intention for the goal, whatever it might be, right? To come up with a decision about something or to just share how you feel, right? You can get pulled into so many different directions because you don't know how your husband's going to react, and you can start to just allow their reaction to direct the entire conversation, and you can get pulled out of your focus because you never established what that focus was. It's kind of like how when you're a new mom and your days can blur a lot, but just the simple task of writing on a post-it, 1, 2, or 3 things that you want to get done that day and how that guides you, like having something to work towards is always going to help you be more productive and successful during conflict all of the time. Okay. So instead of unintentionally moving away from the conversation that you're supposed to be having because you're getting upset or triggered, or your husband's getting upset or triggered, you're going to be able to stay on track so much easier. Okay. And when you consider the goal of the conversation, you're going to be less reactive as well, because you're going to be able to see, oh, we're getting away from this, right? So it's almost like the difference between kids and adults. When kids are talking to us, they're like all over the place, right? And we love them for it. It is so entertaining. And then when you're having a conversation with your child and you're trying to get them to answer something, like let's say like we're talking about, hey, what do you want for dinner? And then they're like, oh, at school, I did this and da-da-da. Okay, what do you want for dinner? I want to hear the rest of this after you tell me what's for dinner. Okay, so it's kind of like that. When we know our reason, our why, we can stay focused on the task at hand, okay? But when we don't, we end up more like being like our kids, where we have squirrel brain and we're just like, we're all over the place, okay? Secondly, setting the intention for how you want your husband to feel during and after the conversation is probably missed even more than the first focus, which is the goal. This is something that my husband is so much better at than I am. I have been learning and learning and learning and trying to improve on this, but it doesn't come as natural to me. Because when people are upset, and I have to say I'm way more emotional than my husband, right? But when people are upset, it can be really difficult to consider how the other person feels because we get so consumed by our own feelings, how we feel, and maybe we slip into victim mentality, thinking that we've been wronged and how much they've wronged us and how much we want them to realize how much they've wronged us and the mistakes that they've made. And you want to give them a piece of your mind and make them feel as bad as you do. And so you point out all the ways that they messed up and their shortcomings. And if you were on the other end, it wouldn't be very pleasant, right? It would sound condescending. It would sound insulting. It would sound belittling. It would sound everything negative that you can think of, right? You'd want to get out of there, or you'd maybe want to put up a fight and get defensive, right? Either way, it doesn't lend itself to being a productive conversation at all. Certainly not one that they want to stick around for or even motivate them to work with you. So when we approach our partners with little to no thought about how we want them to feel, we can unintentionally create more drama than there was to begin with by saying things that can cause them to feel attacked, which leads to defensiveness. And we can get stuck in wanting to be right and make them understand how much they're wrong. But when you decide how you want them to feel during and after the conversation, you can be more mindful about your approach and your response and how you deliver the information and how you express your emotions. You're going to be more present rather than allowing your emotions to consume you and let yourself be reactive. When you consider feelings, you're going to be more intentional about the health of the relationship. You are going to prioritize the relationship over your ego. Right? So if you want the relationship to improve and last, then pause and consider their feelings when coming up with what you want, when coming up with what you want to share and how. Most times when we bring stuff up, when we're angry, half the stuff that we say doesn't even need to be said. And it could really just be a simple conversation about how you're sharing, how you're impacted, and where you're sharing how you've been impacted and something that you're requesting going forward, or setting a boundary, or, you know, coming up with a solution together, right? So staying mindful and being intentional is going to save your mental health, your relationship, your sanity so much just by taking the time to do this, okay? If you're like me and you're like, but when I'm angry, I just need to get it out. I get it. Okay. There are ways to settle your nervous system, which is going crazy, before starting the conversation. And I promise you, even though it feels like that's a waste of time, sometimes slowing down really does help us go faster. Okay. Because I used to think that unless I talked about things right away, that showed that I didn't care and it would just eat me up. It would feel like so much anxiety in me because there's just like so much going on inside my body that I was uncomfortable with and I just needed to talk it out. But learning to figure out how to settle myself without almost like verbal diarrhea all over my partner has been so helpful. We have had way more productive conversations. We have been able to partner up as a team together way more often and way more successfully because I now take the time to settle myself and prepare by being more intentional about what I'm going to say, how I'm going to say it, and what my end goal is, right? Like in the moment when you're angry, maybe your end goal is like, I want to rip him a new one. But does that serve your marriage in the long run? Answer is probably no, right? Because if it does, then why are you married? Okay, so try these two simple but super effective ways to be more mindful in your conversations so that you can put the relationship at the top of your focus rather than your pride, rather than your ego. And that's really what it's about when it comes down to doing conflict with your partner, because it can benefit your marriage when you do it the right way. So use these moments as opportunities to grow and start with being intentional as much as you can. So start with these two things, be more intentional about your goal of the conversation and be more intentional about their feelings during and after. Okay. So try these out. Let me know how you like it. Let me know how it works out. And if you want more questions to help you prepare to feel more confident about handling conflict, I have a free guidebook for you, and I will put it in the show notes so you can go grab that and check that out and let me know how you like it. So send me a message on Instagram or email. I'd love to hear from you. And of course, if you want to learn how to be able to improve communication in your marriage so that you guys can just not fight anymore, because who wants to fight? Who has time for that, right? But rather feel like a solid team and want to hang out with each other because you guys are able to tackle any issue together as a strong team, then reach out and let's talk about how coaching can help you. All right. I will catch you back here on the next episode. Have an amazing day. Bye.
That's it for this episode. If you enjoyed this episode and you'd like to help support the podcast, please subscribe and leave a rating and review. I would so appreciate that. And if you love what I share here, then you're going to love and want to join my free private Facebook community that's also called Marriage and Motherhood. I hope to see and connect with you in there. Otherwise, I'll catch you back here for the next episode. Bye!